You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell, live on the CBC Radio Network. To call the show toll-free from across the nation, dial 1-800-618-8255. The wildcard direct lines are area code 702-727-1295. That number is 702-727-1295. And if you've never called the show, try the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. Anybody east of the Rocky Mountains can use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. When your call is answered, please turn down your radio. Each caller will be allowed up to 3 minutes, giving more listeners a chance to join in. And now, enjoy Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you good evening or good morning, depending on where you are, and welcome to another edition of Coast to Coast AM/PM, that hour that's kind of in the twilight zone, at least here on the West Coast. Good morning, everybody. I think you're going to find this a fascinating program this morning. Let me give you a little bit of background, tell you how this happened. You're about to hear from somebody you've never heard from before. And here's why. A neighbor of mine here in Little Pahrump, Nevada, said, "Hey, Art, I've got a map I think you'd be interested in. And it shows what a future America is going to look like. And it's called I Am America." And he brought it over, and it's, two and a half feet or a little more. A big map. It's a big map. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of a worrisome map. Or maybe not. We'll find out about more of that from Lori here in a moment. Her name is Lori Toy. And one of the most worrisome, immediately noticed things, as far as I was concerned, is that I'm not on the map. When I say I'm not on the map, I mean Nevada, for the most part. About 95% of it appears not to be on the map. And, in fact, a great deal of what's west of the U.S. Rocky Mountains appears not to be on the map. A good healthy portion of Middle America seems to be a river. In other words, these are massive Earth changes. And here's a little piece of literature that came with the map. It says, "This map was inspired by a dream received in 1983 by a young mother of three children. In this dream, Lori Adele, I believe it is, Toy, met four Tibetan masters who spoke about the prophecy of Earth change and unrolled the first original Earth changes map. It was a dream that was mystifying and startling, but promised a future of positive change. In 1988, Lori had received more Earth changes information and, captivated by the stunning detail, compiled these prophecies into the I Am America map of Earth changes. Supported by a team of local friends, a full-scale model of the Earth changes map was built. Then she began to talk to groups about her experience and the prophecies from the Ascended Masters. In May of 1989, 1,000 free copies of the prophetic map were sent to New Age centers and publications across the United States. A lot of people might view this as just a money-making gimmick that is here to sell and exploit fear, money. Encouraged to continue, though, to release the material to the public, Lori struggled personally with the ethics that this Earth Changes material would be either misinterpreted or misrepresented. Beloved Sandana, I believe it is, I'm sure I'm going to get corrected on that, sponsor of the project, repeated, quote, "Send this message to the Earth with love." So, she listed her home with a local realtor, sold her house. She committed to sharing the I Am America map with the rest of the world. Her home sold in 2 hours. And the first 1,000 posters of the map were printed. Now, Now you're going to hear about it. Let's go down to Arizona and find out what in the world this is all about. And so here from Arizona, we'll find out where is Lori Toy. Lori, hi.
Hi, Art.
Hi. Lori, where are you in Arizona?
We're in Payson, Arizona, which is right in the middle of the state.
Okay. All of this came to you in a dream, Lori?
Yeah. Boy, it was a pretty surprising experience. real surprising for me. At that time, I was living on a farm, a farm wife, three children in diapers. So you can imagine how I felt having a dream of such a tremendous scope. I mean, you look at something like that and you think, boy, am I folding too many diapers.
Yeah.
But this, it's really interesting, the evolution of the story, how it kind of came into fruition and how we work at it and with it now. I don't know, Art, you know, how you feel about this, but a lot of times, we talk about having many lifetimes in lifetimes.
Sure.
And I know, for instance, I can point out about four different lifetimes I've experienced even up to this time.
Are you talking about lifetimes within this lifetime?
Yeah, within this lifetime. You know, like I have a lifetime, you know, up to high school. I have a lifetime that was in college.
Oh, well, of course
I
know what you mean, yes.
That was this farm wife when I received this dream. Then I had a lifetime working at my own magazine, which I published and taught me a lot about doing projects of this nature. And now I have this lifetime working with Earth Changes. And I've spent the last 6 years of my life dedicated to working with these prophecies and working to develop a real broad-based understanding of what this type of experience is about, what it means, and the potential that it can unleash for all of us.
Lori, why do you think that what you had was not just that, a dream, fantasy, not reality? Why do you think it was instead prophecy?
It was different.
In what way?
It was, I had full consciousness. I don't know if you've had this experience or not, but I've had this. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen.
Well, wait a minute. Were you asleep at night when you had this dream, or was this a daytime occurrence?
I was asleep at night, and then I had this experience that was real. And what happened in the dream, or what I would call now a vision,
mm-hmm.
as I've studied these things, I've learned there's a big difference between a dream and a vision.
Right.
And this map was unrolled in front of me, surrounded by what I came to understand later were four Tibetan masters, and they revealed this new map of the United States. But it wasn't later until 1988 that I began to, in a sense, unravel the mysteries that were contained in that map. The dream was a very profound experience for me. It reoccurred for 3 months.
Oh, boy.
I remember even talking to a friend about it, and I said, you know, this is so unusual because I keep on having this dream.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, you know, a lot of the ancient prophecies spoke about a time when the earth would change, and I've studied them a little bit. And she says, Lori, don't worry about it. This is a good thing that's happening because this is going to be a time not only where the earth will change, but because of that, people will change. And we'll have what they call a golden age. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. But you know how everything is sort of a point of departure in life.
Sure.
And that dream was a point of departure for me.
Well, what unnerved me, Lori, was looking at this map. We discussed for just a moment before airtime the ancient prophecies business on NBC. You saw that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw part of it. I didn't see all of it.
Okay, well,
at the tail end.
Yeah, a lot of the prophecy regarding Earth change paralleled exactly what I see on this map, and that unnerved me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How detailed were your dreams?
Very detailed. And, in fact, later on in 1988, when we worked to compile all the information through the process of meditation and channeling, people were just amazed because they said, this is the most detailed information we have ever seen brought forth in this manner. And it surprised me, too. In fact, at that time, I was living in a small town in northern Idaho. Mm-hmm. I worked locally, had a small graphic design and advertising agency. I was well known in the local region, and I didn't want anyone to know what I was doing because this was something they call quote unquote kooky and weird. But it was really funny because it was almost like there was a force supporting this information to be heard, almost like a series of hands, like I was walking on, you know, effortlessly leading for this thing. And it had its own energy, is what I'm saying. It was just incredible. Doors opened effortlessly. For instance, when I made the commitment for the map to be published, my house, it really did. It sold in 2 hours.
2 hours.
2 hours, market value. It was like this was something that was very critical and urgent, and the time was now.
Listen, Lori, I'm going to say something here. If my wife came to me and said, listen, I've had some dreams. I need to publish this map. We need to sell the house. I'd say, hon, sit down. We need to have a real serious talk here.
I can understand. I can really understand. I did not even, I didn't tell my close friends. I did not tell my parents. I can appreciate what you're saying. And I came from a pretty professional background. It wasn't as if this wasn't something that I thought about before I did this, because I realized when you put this type of information out, there's a responsibility that goes with it. But I remember talking to a really good friend before we put the information out, and she said, you know, Lori, you just don't know yet where this is going to lead, but I do feel where it will lead is a good place.
You were instructed to give this information out, am I correct?
I was instructed, and I was told to send this message to the earth with love. And that is the foundation and the mission that we carry out here at I Am America, is we work to find a way to language this work always with love, removing the fear and showing the mystical journey that is contained in all of these prophecies. And they're very full. And probably by the end of this night, if the listeners out there will hang with us, they'll feel very well fed.
Well, all right. How can you be sure these changes are positive? I mean, from my point of view, for example, here in Nevada, I don't feel very positive about it. I'm to be in the Bay of Harmony.
Yeah. You know, when I first worked with this map, I thought literally this was going to happen. I was really afraid. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to warn people. That was my consciousness when I first started working with it. And who wouldn't think that?
Right.
Who would not think that? So after I got the first 1,000 copies of this map printed, I loaded them up in the back of my little four-door car, drove down to California, and I started selling these to bookstores all up and down the coastline. It was like I had a burn in me that I had to get out there and warn these people. And I stayed probably in that flow for about a year and a half to 2 years. And then I started noticing a shift happening with me, a consciousness shift, almost a transformational thing was happening with me myself. And it's like information would come to me effortlessly, what I would call synchronicities. You know, how things just sort of happen.
Lori, are you sure that that wasn't just a protective action of your own brain? In other words,
No, I'm positive it was not, because it happened too frequently. Anyway, what happened for me is that I began to understand what prophecy is. That, of course, we were dealing with earth changes material, but that this was a work of prophecy. And so I looked up the word prophecy and what prophecy means. And for anyone listening out there, if you really want to grow and take on a transformational journey, get yourself a very good dictionary, even dated past the 30s. Start looking up the meanings of words and what they say, because the spoken word's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at the word prophecy, and I'm going to give you the noun.
All right.
And this is what it means. The first definition is divinely inspired utterance. The second one, utterance under the inspiring influence of religious experience. Three, this is the one that I work with the most, inspired declaration or revelation of the divine will, including moral teaching by warning, consoling, exhorting, giving an example of fellowship with God and the like. Prophecy is based upon a spiritual teaching, and it always has and always will be.
Is it from God, Lori?
Of course it's from God. Of course it's from God. But I know many people have a different idea of what God is. And I don't feel it's up to me to define that for them. I can only share my own experience.
Well, I will ask you because they will ask you. Is your God the God of the Bible? Is your God some variation?
God is everything to me. God is the one. Of course, that took a lot for me to get to that place that I could say that God is the one. But the best explanation I've ever heard that came the closest to languaging what God is, of course, I think it's even impossible to language. I heard this from Grandmother Twy, who is an elder of the Seneca tribe in Upper State New York, great Native American grandmother. And she said, it's the great inner self.
The great inner self.
The great inner self, that source that we all share.
All right, Lori, let's tell them about the map. Can you describe, do you have words, and I'm sure you must after all this time, to describe to those who cannot see it? It's a beautiful map, really beautiful.
Thank you.
But can you give a brief description of it so everybody understands roughly what we're talking about and the earth changes that are depicted here?
Okay, yes. And in fact, we have a video, too, out which would give in detail all the literal explanations of the prophecy. But basically, what you're looking at are major earth changes on the west coast of the United States.
Mm.
What you'll see is a visual representation of California shattered and broken to a series of islands.
Yes, nothing more than islands.
Nothing more than islands. In the Pacific Northwest, a peninsula of land going out to Mount Shasta, and again, that breaks away into a series of islands in Upper State Nevada and Lower State of Idaho, Southern Idaho. All of Oregon's almost gone. Most of Washington State, a series of islands. I can't remember the names of the mountains there, but they form a chain of islands in there as well. The Mississippi River, tremendous flooding, and the Great Lakes breaking away and forming in the Midwest and into Texas, a huge river, making the Mississippi and Missouri rivers widening 10 times over. The breakup of the East Coast, a lot of ice, a lot of wind, the lower tip of Florida sinking. And those are just real brief. That's just a real brief description
mm-hmm.
of the United States.
Right. You've got it also broken into areas. Is it Gobien? The Golden City of Gobien?
Gobien.
Golden City of Gobien.
Is a pronunciation.
Okay, that is roughly in the American, what is now the American Southwest.
Right. Now, those are representations of energy vortexes.
Oh.
But before we get in to energy vortexes, I'd like to back up a minute.
All right, well, so would I, because let me ask one quick question, Lori.
Okay.
These changes, whatever will bring them on, and we'll talk about that,
okay,
would result in arguably the death of millions and millions of people with the West Coast virtually disappearing. So
if they happen, yes, we would be looking at that.
Yes. So
we would be.
So you say it's good and with love, but that's a lot of dead people, Lori.
Certainly is. I came to this place, like I said, 2 years in my journey and working with the map. I struggled with the ethics of even working with it because I felt like this is something I'm not sure if I want to do. I have to talk about death and destruction, and I'm a happy person. I love life. I enjoy life, and I feel it's a blessing. And I struggled with that, and that was the time when I started to understand the work I had been given. And that was to understand and comprehend what prophecy is. And I came across a fantastic book, and it was the Aramaic prose of Jesus. And it was all the translated work from the original Aramaic verses, the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer and that, from Jesus, in the foreword of this, written by this beautiful author, David Kloss. And he talked about how the ancient Hebrew fathers had interpreted prophecies. And I thought, this is incredible. I've never heard of anyone interpreting prophecies. And, of course, prophecy was a big part of their culture and tradition. And they would never interpret their prophecies or make a final analysis of the prophecies until they had been interpreted three times.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time they looked at them literally, which is what I had been doing. And I feel a lot of people that's where they're putting the focus of their attention.
What will bring these changes? Will it be earthquakes? Will a big meteor hit the western U.S.? What's going to bring this, Lori?
Well, according to the literal work of the prophecy, it is many things. But they said the first thing that we could look for as a sign would be the appearance of a meteor in the sky, and that possibly it would impact, and get this, you'll like this one, in the Nevada desert.
In the Nevada desert. Oh, great, Lori.
You are there.
Ground zero. It figures.
Right.
It just figures. Lori, on that thoughtful note, I'm going to ask you to hold on, and we'll go rolling through a bottom of the hour break here, so just relax for a few moments.
Okay.
And I'll consider the meteor in the sky. Lori Toy is my guest. Oh, boy. It's the Earth Changes map we're talking about, called I Am America, and the prophecy of Lori Toy. And she sounds quite serious, so I'm going to treat it the same way. Good evening, good morning, everybody. We will get back to Lori and to your telephone calls in just a bit. If you're fascinated by prophecy and what may well lie ahead for all of us, then I suggest you stay tuned, because coming back in just a moment, Lori Toy, the I Am America gal, and you ought to see this map. The meteor's going to hit Nevada, huh? Doggone it. It's always Nevada. We'll be back.
This is the end of side one. Please leave the cassette exactly where it is, flip it over, and begin again.
Well, good evening, good morning. From Ground Zero, Nevada, welcome back. My guest is Lori Toy, and she has prophecy. She has a map about her prophecy called I Am America. And if you live out where I live, it's beginning to get to be a little worrisome. Let's go back now to Lori Toy. Lori, hi.
Hi.
All right, so a meteor is going to hit Nevada.
Yeah, you know, I was going through some notes here, Art, and I didn't want you to feel too left out. But, you know, in 1947, in China, over 10,000 meteorites bombarded the Sukhothai Island range there. So it has happened before.
Well, yes, but China is more or less still there. Nevada will not be.
Still there. Also, there's a huge crater up in northern Quebec, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 miles in diameter, where the world's largest meteorite struck the Earth.
Right, but the size of meteor that you must be talking about here would have to be quite a bit bigger, it seems to me, to do this, if that is, in fact, what does the major part of the rearranging. Is that correct?
Well, one would think so. One would think so, particularly with what the prophecy state will happen as a result of that meteorite or meteor hitting in that area.
Let me ask you about something, Lori. In July, there is due to be an impact on Jupiter that I'm sure you're aware of. Are you aware of it?
Yes, I've heard about that through our network here.
Uh-huh. There will be chunks of a comet as big as 3 miles across that will impact with Jupiter. And when they do, they will strike each with a force of 250 million hydrogen bombs. That's not a trivial amount of energy release. And there are people talking about the possibility of Jupiter turning into a sun or not surviving the impact or what have you. So something of this cataclysmic size, I suppose, could occur. And I guess that's what's due to occur. I'm curious, where you are in Arizona, on your map, Arizona looks to be about knocked in half or just about in half.
Yeah, the coastline runs through Phoenix.
Yeah. Where does that place you?
We're up on a range of mountains near the White Mountains on the Mogollon Rim, which is a granite formation. And they say, which this is one thing I have found out in working with Earth Changes Prophecies, that living in areas where there's granite formations, it is safer in terms of if you're hunting for a safe place to look to live.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily because basalt rock explodes under pressure, particularly if you get the grinding of tectonic plates and that kind of activity going on with major earth changes, you get an earthquake, say, above an 8 point. It some of that basalt will just turn into ash. In fact, most of Oregon is covered by basalt flows.
All right, now, when might this happen? Do you have any idea? Does your prophecy give any timeline at all?
The one thing that we focus on is not so much when, but what are we going to do with our choices now?
But Lori, when does count a little bit in the sense that if I'm ground zero and Nevada's ground zero for the meteor, when might be important?
I think the when is now. And I think we're living in a time of prophecy right now. You know, when you were talking about this activity that will be happening on Jupiter,
yes.
Did you know in 1992 that we came so dangerously close with impact with an asteroid?
I do know that, yes.
Yes, that NASA was trying to figure out a way to explode the asteroid before it was caught in our gravitational pull?
Well, I know that, I watched the news, Lori, very closely, and I would say two or maybe three times in the last 3 years, there have been Associated Press stories saying astronomers just announced that we had a close call, had, past tense. In other words, they announced it after the fact, and as though they had only found out about it after the fact, and that worried me.
Well, I think there's a lot of things going on that we, as quote-unquote the public at large, never hear what's happening in terms of what's happening with Earth changes and the potential for these tremendous changes that will literally just alter life on the planet.
Lori, if there was a meteor headed this way and they knew it, they meaning the government or the authorities,
mm-hmm.
I'm not even convinced, frankly, they would tell us.
Well, you know, that's a pretty pretty tricky answer there. I mean, and how to even deal with that in terms of the fear, the looting that could occur in that type of situation. You know how control-based a lot of our government is right now.
I do.
You know, it would definitely present a scope of problems for them.
Oh, I'm sure that they would sit in their think tanks back there and conclude much of the Western U.S. is going to disappear. To announce now, weeks ahead of time, that it's going to occur might save some lives, or it might cost more lives in terms of people tromping over each other and anarchy and trying to get out of the way of this thing. With the population shifts, they might conclude it would be better to say nothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and just let it happen. And that's sort of hopeless in a sense. That's hopeless for us, people who are getting that something is going on, and we feel like we're victims. We wonder, well, what can we do with this type of thing? And that's part of the process that we feel we really help with here at I'm America, is that we feel right now all the choices that we make in living our lives make a difference in the overall scheme of things. Now, what I'm proposing here is that our thoughts and our feelings create reality. And when you live in fear, you create more fear. Mm-hmm. When you live with love, you create more love. Now, that's pretty profound to think that our thoughts alone might avert a tremendous catastrophe and cataclysm, or an asteroid impacting and hitting the planet. But I think this is the purpose of these prophecies, and that's why people are getting these prophecies now, because if they're sent with love, you would think that they are sent as a warning so that we can do something to either avert the changes or assist in a gentle change, so that we don't have to go through death and destruction, but yet make a choice.
Are you saying this
for
is,
love and peace?
Yeah, are you saying this is not inevitable?
It's not inevitable.
It's not inevitable.
Not inevitable at all. Although,
is that what you were told or what you have concluded since you were given all this prophecy?
Both. I have concluded that, and also I have been told that this is not inevitable. Our choices every day make a difference. We have a saying, a change of heart can change the world. And I know for most people thinking out there, gosh, you mean like if I start thinking every day good thoughts, we may not get as much rain in the Mississippi Valley. The point of the matter is that it's very true, and there's studies that document that.
Well, we have affiliates all over Missouri, for example, where the Mississippi is presently rising once again. And you're telling me that if they think good thoughts back there, they can think this water level, Mississippi level down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. In fact, there was a man who did quite an extensive study, and he was linked up with Sun Bear and his work, the Bear Tribe, near Spokane, Washington. I can't remember his name, but I do remember the work that he was bringing forth, and it was incredible art. What he had done a study of different areas of the world, noting the weather,
mm-hmm.
and noting what was happening in the socioeconomic areas. For instance, in this one area where they kept on getting really horrific rain, rainstorms.
That's very interesting, yes.
Yeah, and they found out that area was suffering periodically from major mill layoffs. And every time they had major mill layoffs in that area, they had these horrific rainstorms. The other thing that they've noted in Saudi Arabia,
yes.
And different areas where it's really arid,
yes.
They've noticed that those areas, and I'm not saying that that's just to pinpoint one area, but these are all over the globe.
Well, as you say all this, though, Lori, I'm sitting here thinking, but we're ground zero here for the meteor, and if it's behavior that's bringing this on, what is Nevada doing wrong?
Right. What we're talking about there is the second stage of prophecy, and that's metaphor.
All right, look, this would suggest then that time is not a constant string ahead of us, that there are many paths that time can take. And,
that's right.
And that that our path into the future is determined by our present behavior.
It's determined by our choices. It's determined by choices. Let me read this to you. I got this in the mail, and I have to share this. It comes from Bob Welb of the Consciousness Network in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
The thinking of consciousness, the thinking you and I know by direct experience, is without restraint. We are free to think as we wish, and all our thoughts are equally real and productive of the conditions of our experience. But some thoughts harmonize with others, and others are antagonistic to each other. The best illustration is the numerical symbolism called mathematics. Mm-hmm. 2 by 2 equals 4 is indicative of concepts that harmonize with each other.
Mm-hmm.
2 times 2 equals 3 is indicative of concepts that are inharmonious.
Mm-hmm.
Both are equally real as concepts, but one indicates an absolute harmony and the other an inharmony.
All right. You might suggest, and I will suggest, because I live and talk about the news every day of the week, Lori.
Yeah.
And I have never seen this country in such a disastrous, torn, 2 and 2 equals 3 condition in my life. I mean, we are just an absolute social mess at the moment. And if I had to guess, based on present behavior and circumstances in America, the meteor's coming on.
Well, it's that old saying from the Hawaiian kahunas, energy goes where attention flows.
Mm.
And we've been putting a lot of energy into chaos.
Chaos, that's right. Drive-by shootings, children who no longer care about themselves nor the life of others take life without a thought, without a conscious thought about it. The blank stare of those who have not much inside to care about or live for. And there's a lot of that around right now. And so if, you know, if our fate is tied to our behavior, I think right now, at least right now, we're doomed. And I don't like to be the bearer of bad news, but those are current circumstances as I read them.
But God bless our free will.
Yes.
Because we can turn it around any time. Martin Luther King said, if I knew the world was going to end tomorrow, I'd still plant my apple tree today. And what he was saying is that I am going to keep my faith, I'm going to keep my hope, because I have been blessed with free will, and I have the ability to make a conscious choice. And those choices every day can change the world. And if you notice in the I'm America map, and this is the third stage of prophecy, and it's known as the mystic message, you notice there's all those coastlines and everything on there?
Yes.
And all these tremendous, horrific changes?
Yes.
And then there are those little yellowed areas, Gobian, Maltone,
yes,
Wahani. And for our listeners out there, we'll talk about that later in more detail so you understand what we're talking about. But that represents the ideal of perfection of what we can hold in the best and highest good. The mystic message there, it is a message of choice.
Huh.
So that is where I have arrived after 6 years of study with this and working with people, mailing maps out, talking on phones, traveling all over the United States with this. I have arrived at this very simple place. Our choices will make the difference and determine the outcome. We can circumvent the cataclysm and disaster if we'll just simply love.
Well, a lot of the audience is going to mix this up with religion. And I'm not sure that they're wrong, because religion, most of it, preaches roughly the same thing. Love, not hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you view it the same way?
Well, of course, I view it.
You're coming at this from sort of a New Age perspective.
I truly am, and I'm probably coming at it in working at a blend of philosophy and science, and then also spirituality. I wouldn't call it religion; I'd call it spirituality. It's kind of interesting. I've had to work so many different angles with this to reach people with the message, and one way when we start talking about love in this, it's a whole other place for people to view the planet, and they're thinking, gosh, I mean, if I could start loving, you know, my neighbor and that kind of stuff, but we can start changing collective consciousness. Well, yes, you certainly can. And I think that this is something that is an evolution. For instance, now, I'm not going to get into Darwin, although we could get into it later. But years and years and years ago, and I'm going to share a little bit of what is myth or storytelling, as I understand it from the background that I have, is that mankind was asexual. And mankind was like this primal glob ooze.
Mankind was asexual and a primal glob of ooze?
And this was during a time, and we're going to call this time Lemuria. And at that particular time, I'm not saying that the body represented the consciousness, because the consciousness was very full. It was, in essence, divine. But the body itself had to devote all of its mind power, mind energy, to just the running and the working of the body, so that the body could actually, the heart would beat, the liver would work.
In other words, those things were not automatic.
They were not. We had to put all of our conscious activity into the working of those things. Now today we're blessed. Do you and I think about the beating of our heart? No, we don't. But yet our heart beats.
Maybe if we thought more about it, we wouldn't eat so many hamburgers.
that might be a possibility. There. This development of consciousness led to the development of the emotional body, and onward into what in our time now known as the time of the mind or the time of choice. Now, since we don't have to think about beating our heart or the functioning of our lungs and the blood going through our veins, that has fallen into what is known as conscious, unconscious activities. What if through the practice of love became a conscious, unconscious activity?
A conscious, unconscious activity. In other words, love ascended or actually passed the conscious state?
Right, where it was no longer a question of us choosing. It just is.
It wasn't a focused, it would not be a focused thing. It would just be all omnipresent.
Right. Now that is one of the potentials in the prophecies, that is what we could become, and that is something I hold great hope for.
Well, if you look at current events, Lori, and you look at the present state of this country, where do you find hope that things are turning in the direction you would hope for that would avert this prophecy? Where do you find hope for that, Lori?
I see it every day. We call it here the spiritual awakening. When I first started studying Ascended Master Teachings back in 1978, and I'm just a babe. I mean, I've met so many other wonderful people out there who have studied and devoted their whole lives to this. I couldn't find the work but at a few select places, and I'd have to usually special order it. And now there are New Age bookstores everywhere. Everyone is very open and talking about this connection that they're making to their inner self. Two of the best sellers now in terms of books, Embraced by the Light by Betty Eady and James Redfield, The Celestine Prophecies.
Right.
Best sellers. That would have never happened 20 years ago.
Well, there's a good answer then. Those are, I suppose, reasons to find hope. How does New Ageism differ from traditional religion, Lori?
I don't think it differs at all.
Well,
The only way it differs, Art, is that it's another language presented for that group of people to hear the same material. Everyone's saying the same thing. It's just how it's said. You know, everyone has an ear that can only hear things a certain way. And with New Age, it's just said to reach a group of people. And it seems like right now it's enjoying a time where people can hear it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, like, you know, in the year 1000, people were hearing the message of the Crusades. It just depends on it's the language. It's whatever it is. And what we're talking about there, and I'm gonna put some more New Age stuff out there, we're talking about sattva. And sattva in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition means rhythm.
Rhythm.
But what they're really saying in sattva is that they're saying timing. Everything has a timing. You know, like...
And you said that, well, yes, it does. And
yes.
I was talking about timing, and you said we are living in prophecy now.
We are.
How critical a time is this?
I think it's one of the most critical we've ever had. It's a time of transition. When a mother's having a baby, the most intense time of birthing that new baby into this world is transition.
Oh, yes.
All the nerves are alive. The body becomes alive. Her total focus is on bringing that baby in, and that baby is safe.
All right, Lori, I've got a clock here I have to adhere to. So we're going to take a break here at the top of the hour, and I would like you to hold on. We'll come back and take some phone calls.
Great. Thank
you. All right. Stay right there. Lori Toy from I Am America, and we'll talk more about it next hour. And, yes, we'll begin to get the phones open next hour. The subject is prophecy. It's a hot one right now, and she certainly has some prophecy, doesn't she? My guest, Lori Toy, back after the news.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell, live on the CBC Radio Network. To call the show toll-free from across the nation, dial 1-800-618-8255. The wildcard direct lines are area code 702-727-1295. That number is 702-727-1295. And if you've never called the show, try the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. Anybody east of the Rocky Mountains can use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. When your call is answered, please turn down your radio. Each caller will be allowed up to 3 minutes, giving more listeners a chance to join in. And now, enjoy Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Kingdom of Nine. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the CBC Radio Network. Now, once again, here's Art.
Once again, here I am, and I have a guest. Her name is Lori Toy. She is a prophet. I guess that's a fair thing to say. Lori Toy is a prophet. She had dreams which led her to design a map which was shown to her called I Am America. The map... Maybe it ought to be called I Am What's Left of America, because just about everything west of the Rockies, with some exceptions in mountainous areas, is either islands or water, or frankly, not here. A lot of the middle America along the Mississippi is well underwater. A lot of the east coast has been shattered as well. And it's pretty shocking stuff. It's a large, beautiful color map. And a friend gave it to me, and that's how I pursued Lori Toy. Lori says that all of this can either be true or not be true, depending on, I hate to use the 60s expression, vibes, but that's roughly it, translated, I suppose, into the New Age with some other phrase. But that's the rough idea. It can either be or not be. We're going to go back to Lori Toy, and I'm going to have her briefly catch us up once again. And I'm going to open the telephone lines to you if you have any questions. I can imagine you would have. The first-time caller line, if you'd like to call, is area code 702-727-1222. Let me repeat that. Area code 702-727-1222. The wildcard direct dial lines are area code 702-727-1295. What I think we're exposing you to here is a little New Age stuff. 702-727-1295. Toll free from the rest of the country. You can call at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. In just one moment, Lori Toy. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Art.
Okay. Lori, it's going to happen each successive hour. We have a lot of radio stations that join us, and so there are, right now, a lot of new people out there right now. So I've got to be careful here and not get them lost. I gave a brief explanation, but once again, tell us, if you would, the brief version of how these prophecies came to you.
Well, this work first started with me with a reoccurring dream in 1983. And as we talked earlier, we talked about the difference between dream and vision.
Yes.
And in this case, I would say it was definitely a vision. It reoccurred. It was the same. It was very detailed. And then later on, of course, the recall of that dream had such stunning accuracies. And then one thing that we haven't talked about was how those accuracies have correlated with what other people had been getting to in what we call the collective unconsciousness.
All right. Well, again, there was a big piece on, I think it was NBC, that did the ancient prophecies piece.
Yes.
And a lot of that parallels what you're saying here and saying in this incredible map of yours with the earth changes. Many of the great prophets have said much the same sort of thing. When you began to review all this that came to you, were you shocked to find that much of the same sort of thing has come to others?
What I've discovered is that earth changes is nothing new at all. Earth changes have happened repeatedly many, many times. And when you start studying the geology of the planet, it tells the story.
Do you have any idea over what period of time these changes will manifest themselves?
Well, from the past, they seem to always happen in what is known as a sidereal year. And a sidereal year, in terms of these prophecies that we're studying, contains 25,000 Earth years. Now, believe it or not, the time of prophecy that we're in right now is just a minor shift.
A minor shift?
Minor shift. This is not a major shift. In fact, according to the ancient prophecies that I have studied, there are times where all the life has been wiped out off of the planet. And that is at the end of a sidereal year.
Could that be in our future?
No, not presently it's not. Of course it is, because everything has a timing, or a sattva, a rhythm that we talked about. But here's something really interesting, to bring this into real layman's terms, so people can grasp the scope of what can happen if we get shifting of the poles and that kind of stuff, that they're all on the I'm America map. I'm going to read you a little note I pulled here. Scientists have long questioned how Lake Titicaca could have the remnants of a very ancient city nearby when its elevation couldn't even grow corn. The city was real close, near to it, and they've got an elevation of about 12,000 feet. Its chemical composition and fauna also resembled an ancient ocean. Research now tells the incredible story. Millions of years ago, before our own moon was caught by the Earth, another moon circled dangerously close, pulling ocean waters towards the equator. So we had another moon, not the moon we have now.
Uh-huh.
They've estimated that the tide was higher than 13,000 feet above normal.
Oh,
because it pulled all the water to the equator. When this moon crashed into the Earth, the oceans receded to the poles and raised the ancient plateau city 12,500 feet and formed Lake Titicaca.
Do you believe we will have a polar shift?
Yes, I know we will have a polar shift.
And what will that do?
Well, it can do one or two things. It will either cause outrageous devastation on the planet, or we will have a total raise in consciousness, vibrations, vibes, what you just put out there to the listeners.
Yeah. Either the best or the worst of it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, it's interesting about this phase of prophecy, as we live out this phase of prophecy, this isn't the worst that we've experienced before.
Well, I'm just a selfish mortal person, but I'm pretty much concerned with what I'm going to be experiencing here. and less concerned with what's going to come later. Not entirely, because I have offspring. I have a son. I'd like him to live, his children to live, and so I'm slightly concerned for the future, but selfishly very concerned with the present and the rest of my life. Laurie, let's take a couple of calls and see what people have to say.
Okay.
All right. On our wild card line, hello, you're on the air with Laurie Toy.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Hello.
I'd be glad to say a few things.
Well, do you have a question for my guest?
Yes.
What is that?
I missed the very first part of her program, so I don't know whether she might have answered these questions or not. But I'd like to ask her this question. Do you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God?
All right. There you go, Lori. Right off the bat.
Right off the bat, of course it is.
Simple answer. Of course it is. All right. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hello.
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 KVI Seattle.
Yes, in Seattle.
I have one comment, one question. I did not hear the first hour. One comment is that that lake that, of which she speaks has it's a man-made lake, and the stones have interlocking joints on the end, and they weigh about 70 tons each. And the question is what is her view on thermonuclear war?
All right, that's a good one. Is that part of the equation, Lori?
Thermonuclear war?
Yep.
I'm sure it plays a major portion in all of this. And, you know, when you're working with prophecies, a lot of times, we don't understand what they meant until they actually happen. And I think that in looking at prophecies, when you get like a prophetic statement and you're analyzing it and you're looking at it, oh gosh, what does this mean? Usually, sometimes you have to wait for it to happen before you even understand it,
mm-hmm.
that it has happened. But that is contained in some of the prophecies of our world prophecies. We have a world map coming out this spring.
Oh, and
yes.
Are there changes in the world as traumatic as the ones depicted in the map of America?
As equal. And that would stand to reason. If we're having these types of tectonic plate movements and major changes like that in the United States, of course we're going to have them all throughout the whole planet. We will be coming out with the world map this spring. And I did want to mention for the listeners out there that if they're interested in purchasing an I'm America map, our phone number here, and we have our secretaries, it was really gracious and came in tonight in the event people wanted to call in and order a map. Our phone number is 602-474-1341.
1341.
Right. So if they'd like to get an I'm America map, or get a free catalog.
Describe the map, if you would please, to everybody, just briefly. What is the map of, and what does it show?
It's a prophecy of Earth changes, and basically, as I stated before, early in the program, most of the west coast of the United States is drastically altered. In fact, we have new seaport cities of Phoenix, Arizona, Denver, Colorado, and Salt Lake City itself exists in a series of little islands. The Mount Shasta becomes a peninsula of land, and if you were to see this map, you'd be very surprised because most of California is now a series of islands. Also, the Pacific Northwest is completely gone, and also just a series of islands there of the mountain range.
What about Seattle? Gone?
Gone. Although Mount Rainier is still there and remains as an island, the whole Cascade Range there forms a series of islands in the prophecies.
All right, so then a great central swath of America remains basically intact, but there's trouble along the Mississippi, it would seem.
Yes, we see a total widening there of the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. In fact, in the prophecies, they said that the lower Lake Michigan would drain, and so would Lake Erie drain into upper state Pennsylvania.
Uh-oh.
All of the East Coast is very broken up into a series of islands, and also the lower tip of Florida sinks with Miami, Florida now in the Atlantic Ocean.
Looks like a little less than perhaps a third of Florida simply is gone.
That's right, gone.
All right, let me continue on the telephones here. That should get their attention. Hello there. On the toll-free line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Where are you calling from, please?
St. Augustine.
St. Augustine, Florida. All right.
I have a question, a couple, if I may. One, how much money are you making off these maps?
Good question. How much money are you making from these maps, Lori?
Well, let me put it this way. I don't own a home.
That wasn't the question.
I have three children.
That was not
the question. And we make enough money to pay a part-time secretary, and we have volunteer help.
How much do you file on your income tax, may I ask that?
Oh, no, you may not. That's kind of
rude.
Well,
this is business. She's doing a business on your show.
Well, I know, but there are limits. I mean, you can certainly ask whether it's a high profit item or, you know, whatever you want, but I'm not going to have her...
All right, then I have another question for her. You said that you're claiming to be a prophet now. You're taking notes as being a prophet simply because you feel a prophet, according to your definition, is because of your inner... A prophet is something that's inside of you?
A connection to the great inner self.
And what religion are you now?
I have no specific quote-unquote religion. However, I consider myself to be very spiritual.
Do you belong to a spiritual organization?
No. No, I don't belong to any organization other than just...
You were talking about Tibet. Priest, and,
yeah,
and
you
I was
know,
wondering...
You know, it's interesting because I have studied a lot of the different world religions, and I was raised a Lutheran, and in fact went to a Lutheran college.
Very interesting. So was I, Lori.
Were you?
Yeah.
Great. And I love religions. I think they're fantastic and beautiful. I love their rituals. But what I have discovered in studying the Eastern religions is that we're all saying the same thing. We're all saying the same thing.
All right, you said that you were a professional woman earlier in the show. What type of professional woman were you?
All right, thank you, sir. Yes, what have you been in your past, Lori? A lot of people listening in this hour won't know either.
I published a full-color tourist-oriented magazine. It was what is known as a regional magazine for a little area known as Central Idaho. And then when I decided that the magazine business was not going to work for me because of the tremendous stress and the deadlines, I became a graphic designer and just worked out of my home. But I had clients all throughout the valley that I worked in.
All right, so then at least you were able to apply your natural talent that you had been using to create this map?
That's right, and it was interesting. It was almost as if there was a grooming happening. But because by the time that I got into the position to produce the I'm America map and then subsequently our two books, I had all the knowledge to do this, and I did it all myself. And people have always been kind of amazed that is the type of organization we are, but... that's just what we do. That is one joy that I have. I love doing the graphic design still, so I try to stick with that as much as possible.
After this prophecy, Lori sold her house in order to pursue constructing this map. Roughly correct, Lori?
That's correct.
All right. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Okay, you already called, sir. You're allowed one call. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, KSMA, Santa Maria.
Santa Maria, yes, sir.
Yes, I agree with your earth changes that you were talking about. However, I think a lot of the stuff, the philosophy you're talking about, is a bunch of New Age garbage. And what is this golden age you were talking about? How will it come about?
All right, that's a good question. The golden age. And these golden age cities, Lori, what are they?
What they are, what they represent, are areas on our planet where we would be protected and safe during the times of changes. Now, that's the literal. But I want to explain some things that we haven't had a chance to get into yet. On the human body, there are seven centers known as chakras. And those are places on the body where we take in energy and release energy. And there's a lot more information out about chakras. And later on, when my husband Len Toy is on the air, he'll talk extensively about chakras and what they mean.
Uh-huh.
But since the planet and we are virtually one, in fact, this is kind of interesting. When NASA sent astronauts up during the beginning age of exploring space, they would measure their human aura, and that's the electromagnetic field around us, at 8 hertz. And 8 hertz is would be like a measurement of the vibration.
Very low frequency.
Right, very low frequency. And they discovered that the planet itself also had a measurement of 8 hertz.
Now that is interesting.
It is interesting, which correlates then what we were talking about previously about how what we think can absolutely affect what happens.
What happens, and that is what you believe, isn't it?
Right, because we're one.
That we are masters of our own destiny.
Right, because we are literally made of the same substance, therefore we are one. You cannot disconnect the two. So those areas that we're talking about are vortexes or chakras of the planet. So the planet has places where it takes in energy and releases energy in as much as the body does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which just makes sense.
And those would be areas that would be under circumstances of this prophecy, safe places to be.
That's right. That's right, because they are sacred places where we're taking in energy. It was interesting when I first started talking about this theory of the planet having chakras. It's really not a new theory at all. It's just maybe the presentation. But the Native Americans have always talked about all the vortexes on the planet. And I was speaking to a lady who has done quite a bit of research with Earth Changes and is close to a lot of the Hopis. And she says, well, you know, the Hopi elders are all saying that the vortexes of the planet are now all shifting locations to get ready for the new time.
All right, Laurie, I'm going to ask you to hold on while we do another bottom-of-the-hour thing here. Relax, and we'll come right back to you. My guest is Laurie Toy. We're talking about Earth Changes as represented on a map called I Am America. And believe me, it should be called I Am What's Left of America. But Laurie says it doesn't have to be. I'm Art Bell with Laurie Toy, and we're talking about prophecy and America's future. We'll be back.
This is the end of side one. Please leave the cassette exactly where it is, flip it over, and begin again.
To talk with Art Bell, first-time callers dial 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. This is Coast to Coast AM on the CBC Radio Network.
And we're talking about prophecy. My guest is Laurie Toy, and she has had a vision. She has been asked to bring us her vision in the form of a map depicting the way things may be, might be, but according to Laurie, don't have to be. It's intriguing. It's I Am America, or as I keep saying, what's left of America, if all of this happens. Laurie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi. All right, let's continue with the telephones if we can and see what people have to say. I notice, Laurie, some people are downright ticked off. they get either very threatened by what you're saying, or
well,
because it clashes with their philosophy or their religion, they don't want to hear it.
Well, one thing I've noticed about this information, it's like garlic. You know, you're walking down the street and you smell this fantastic restaurant, and either you're like turned off, you want nothing to do with it, get out of my space,
or you're attracted,
or you follow it.
I understand. All right. Well, let's move. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air with Laurie Toy. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay, sir. Where are you?
I'm in Denver, Colorado.
Denver. Oh, yes. Denver, the new coastline.
Yeah, I'm not so sure if I believe all of that. Where does she get all this information?
All right. Well, that's a fair question. We answered it earlier, but maybe you didn't hear it. It came to her, Lori. Lori, where'd you get the info?
Well, this started as what we had spoken about as a vision, a series of visions. And then it evolved into some of the most fantastic, detailed information ever seen of this nature from what we know of as history. But one thing that was really fascinating about the material, it was not only all of the stunning detail that was given with it, is that it contained such a strong spiritual message.
I'll tell you, I'll just hang up and just listen.
All right, Sarah, thank you.
It contains such a strong spiritual teaching. And after doing some research with this, I discovered that prior to any time that we go through a major cataclysmic earth change, in the collective unconsciousness, again, of humanity, spiritual teachings would emerge. Almost as if that Source itself was saying, I will ensure humanity's safe passage beyond cataclysm and destruction. So these spiritual truths now are known as prophecies. And these spiritual truths are the things that will assure that everything will have a balance in what happens.
All right. On our toll-free line, you're on the air with Lori Toy.
Yeah. Yes, Art, I've been listening very intently for the last 90 minutes. And with the extreme sincerity to Lori, I'm retired now, but I was a clinical psychologist for 22 years. And I must tell you that this is a classical case, textbook case, of deep emotional rejection. The title of your map, I Am America, gave away pretty much the trouble that I see and hear in your voice. And I would just recommend that you seek some kind of professional help in your state. I can certainly recommend a couple of names of people that you might be able to see.
What is it, sir, that you think you hear?
Well, there's a deep, deep-rooted tone of emotional rejection in her past life. And I don't know where it comes from without more study of the particular case. But the only reason why I'm calling is the concern for the three children that she has.
All right, sir. Thank you. All right, Lori.
What can I say? It's like garlic.
Well,
it's like garlic. But you know, the I Am America was given to us. And if you look at America, that is what is known as a lexiogram, which means I am race. And I am is what is known as an Occidental name of God. We have the Oriental, which is Om, and then the Western, which is Occidental, which is I am. And when they say race, they don't mean that in terms of being racist, but they mean that in terms of the gathering of the I am race and its contribution to be made to the planet. Now, that's the prophecy.
Okay, well, the man was politely saying you're as unstable as can be in a nutcase. And what do you say to that? I mean, have you considered yourself? I'm sure as you've thought about all this, Lori, you must have thought at times, am I nuts?
Well, of course I did. Of course I did. Because, you know, any kind of work like this that you do, it goes into a lot of uncharted territory. And it's always interesting to notice, you know, psychologists always like to put like a neat little prepackaged handle on what it is you're doing, and they've always got a diagnosis of what's wrong.
I know,
but
everything's got to go into a little box, Lori.
That's right. And that's just control. That's just because this type of material shows a world totally out of control.
Well, I would wager to say that most prophets throughout time have been thought by many to be nutcases. No doubt about it. On our first.
Do the wild thing at 702-727-1295.
Yes, but sir, I don't want you to use your last name. When you come on this program, you only use your first name. Your first name is Dick. Where are you calling from?
Wenatchee, Wenatchee, in the state of Washington.
Very good.
Radio KPQ.
Right.
Okay. You were talking about prophecy?
Yes.
Well, you know, I don't know if you call this prophecy, but I've had an experience, and I don't know anybody else to have one quite like it. Let's say 40 years ago, between September of 1953 and January 1954, closest thing I can come to a word that I've seen printed is what they call time travel, which is somehow my mind was out of the normal range of time, and I, in about 5-6 months period of time, I saw everything was going to happen to me in the next 50 years. And that was 40 years ago. Last 40 years, everything had been exactly as I remember. And particularly, it's like starting about December 1st, 1993, this last December, I've seen it a second time for the last 10 years or so of my life. Everything since December 1993, I've seen twice now. I would say everything I feel, think, say, and do now.
And it's all, and you say it's all come true?
Yeah, it come right off the button now.
Did you see your own death?
Basically, I'm in some sort of a, I call it kind of a socialistic facility for the elderly, and I'm, it's like 2004 ideal. I've been certain of 2004 for a long time.
All right, sir, thank you. Laurie, do a lot of people experience prophecy, do you think? Or is
thousands of them do. Thousands. And in the course of time I've worked with this for 6 years, which is really just a small amount of time, we get letters in every day, people talking about the same experiences I've had, either dreams, visions, out-of-body experience, something given to them in meditation, very much as this man shared with us. This is a very common thing, and I think where we're at now in terms of evolution or science is that we're just starting to tap into the full potential of what we are, of what we carry within us, and we're always calling it quote unquote psychic, or we're always labeling and putting it into that area when
you think it's a natural function.
It's a natural function, and we limit it by our labels. And like I said before, I mean, this is a natural thing that happens to us. I think just by nature, the fact of the lifestyles that we're leading right now do everything to shut down the natural part of us that is part of this life-giving force. I think that there are many prophets out there, many prophetic dreams.
All right, well, let us try another one of them here. On our toll-free line, you're on the air with Laurie Toy. Hello.
I saw your program on TV, and I'm up here in Truckee. We listen to KLH, and I was wondering if I was right. You sort of showed that the Sierra Nevada mountains are going to become a like an island chain like Hawaii. And if that's so, are all those people up here going to sort of like starve to death and be out of touch and perish?
I'd say probably more like drowning looking at the map, but... we'll ask Laurie about it. Thank you. Laurie, Nevada is to be ground zero for a meteor strike, a giant one, isn't it?
Right. That's what the prophecy state. Also, what this caller, this gentleman was just speaking about, were the series of islands in California, the Sierra Madres.
Oh.
Forming a series of islands, as I understood it. These prophecies are real catalyzing. And what they do, what I've noticed, is that they make you afraid. There's just no two ways about it. But what happens in the process of dealing with fear, and this has happened for me personally, is that I have moved to a place of learning to deal with fear, and also moved to a point where fear is not that big of a part of my life anymore. And that's been my experience in working with this type of material. That's why I laid so much groundwork in the beginning of this interview with the spiritual insights on our changes on what that potentially holds for us. This map, in terms of a prophetic teaching, which is a prophecy of change and a prophecy of choice, is that we are dealing with moving from fear and into love.
All right. On our first-time caller line, you're on the air with Laurie Toy. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Where are you, sir?
Medford, Oregon.
All right, go ahead.
You said that man was in charge of his own fate. Hello.
Yes.
Did you ever read of hear of Josephus, who wrote A History of the Jews?
I'm not familiar with that work, no.
Well, he said that there were three religious sects over there, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Essenes. He cursed the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he said, beware of their doctrine. Now, the doctrine of the Sadducees and the Pharisees was that they believed that man was in charge of his own fate.
Very similar to what you're saying, Lauren.
Right, about having free will and choice.
That's right, of course. But in saying, you seem to be saying that that free will and choice can lead in a couple of directions. One of them is into this prophecy and all this then coming true. And the other is into a different future, that we can chart the course of our own future. That time, in fact, has many avenues it can travel, and we are the determinants of that.
That's right. You know, I just pulled up a quote here, and I think it's very appropriate for the moment. This comes from the mother, as she goes by, from the Sri Aurobindo Ashram in Pondicherry, India. She says, there would no longer be any limits to the possibilities, to the unexpected, the marvelous, and one could hope for the most splendid, the most delightful things from the sovereignly free will, playing eternally with all the elements and creating unceasingly a new world, which logically would have absolutely nothing to do with the preceding one. Don't you think it would be charming? We have had enough of the world as it is.
I do, but Lori, when I look around, I'm sorry, I guess I'm a hard-bitten realist, it looks to me as though a lot of the free will that's being exercised in America right now is being exercised irresponsibly, and I don't see the positive things that you see, and I'm happy that you see them, but I wish I could see them, and I know there are some of them out there, but the hard-bitten part of me says it's a damn mess right now, and it's getting worse and not better. Our younger generation is a splintered, confused, in some cases suicidal. Their values, their morality have gone down the tubes. I mean, encourage me, Lori. Tell me I'm wrong.
I hear you. I mean, that is what this work has been about. It's been about learning to put our attention where it needs to be. And, of course, that entails your own choice system of where you want to put your attention. But let's start creating the things that we want to create.
All right. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hi. Where are you calling from, please?
Well, I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Art.
Uh-huh. The islands of Salt Lake.
Well, thank you, and I want to thank Laura for what she's doing tonight and spreading her prophecy. And me and Ma's sitting here in bed, and we had a bit of a prophecy ourselves, a bit of a vision. And basically, we came up with the concept that we can't handle it no more, and we think that the country's a big country, and it's time the country took responsibility for our kids. We're going on welfare, Art. And we think that it's time the country took responsibility for us and our kids and stood up to its responsibilities. That's our vision. And furthermore, Art, I was just wondering if maybe you would want to join us on welfare when people stop working because they're so afraid of everything, meteor showers and all. Maybe they won't be able to afford none of them fancy radios no more, huh?
Maybe they won't, sir. Certainly you and Mom won't. Thanks for the call. He's going on welfare. On the toll-free line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Bell, I wanted to ask you if you're planning to have a opposing view, I guess, possibly a Christian who could explain most of the things that she's explained this evening.
Well, I've got you, sir.
Well, this is true, and I don't have but 2 minutes, do I? So I believe this is really, honestly, Lori, whether or not you believe this or not, but it's a deception that you don't even believe that you're doing yourself. Do you believe in hell, or do you believe in heaven?
Lori?
Excuse me?
Do you believe, Lori, in heaven, or do you believe in hell? And by the way, can I quickly just interject?
I believe the creator.
No, wait a minute, sir. Take the answer to your question, please.
Okay.
All right. What is it, Lori?
Well, and in this map again, it says we create our own reality.
Is that from the Bible?
It's from this map.
Okay, Lori.
We are creating through our choices.
Lori, what I've learned and studied is that New Age is based on the self. The Bible is a standard that will give you truth from above. Okay? Simply, what I know about a prophetess and what I've studied, as is the Christian, is that a prophetess or a prophet is accurate 100% of the time. If you're wrong 1%, you're not a prophet.
Well, that's
okay.
News to me. That's
huh?
News to me, and
I know,
think
but
that's
to you,
a great
but it's
insight.
Not based on the standard of the Bible.
That's a great insight.
Okay, but you're basing your religion on yourself, which has failure rates. Okay, the Bible doesn't fail. So let me ask you again, do you believe in heaven or do you believe in hell?
I believe that we create our heaven and our
okay,
hell.
Okay, Lori, I've got to go.
All right, thank you, caller. And so there it is. Again, somebody drawing the line, Lori. And I thought he did it rather well in the sense that he delineated the differences between the New Age look at things and the traditional religious look at things.
Yeah, and you know, there's room for all of us. There's room for all of us. This doesn't have to be about white hats and black hats or blue shirts and red shirts.
But it is, because that's the way the world is.
But boy, the sun shines on all of us.
Lori, hold on for a moment. We'll be right back to you. Lori Toy is my guest. Back to her now. Lori, are you there?
Yeah, still here.
Okay. Do you want to give out your number again for the map?
Yes, I would. For those listening, you can call this evening. Our secretary has graciously donated some time to come in. 602-474-1341. And for folks who don't want to do the long-distance phone calling, you can always write us. Post Office Box 2511, Payson, Arizona, 85547.
All right. To the phone lines again. And on our toll-free line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Where are you calling from, sir?
Yakima, Washington.
Yakima. Okay.
I had a question about... I live in the Inland Northwest here. So what's the prophecy for this area?
All right. The Inland Northwest, Lori.
We're several miles east of the Cascades.
Now, you're in Wenatchee?
No, Yakima. It's a little south of
Yakima.
Yeah.
That whole valley in the prophecies is underwater.
All underwater.
Sorry, sir.
All underwater.
Well, you're faring about the way we are here. We're going to be hit with a meteor in Nevada.
Yeah, that's what I heard earlier. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Gurgle, gurgle. See you later. All right. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hi.
Morning, Art.
Hello.
Morning, Lori.
Morning.
Shortly after I got out of service back in the 40s, I first become aware of people who make predictions like you are. In this one particular case, this leader of this group had about 250 families in his church, or whatever you call it. They all sold their property because he predicted that the world was coming to an end, and he took them up to the top of Mount Wilson, where they waited and waited and waited for this happened. Well, being this is 1994, it's a pretty long wait. In any event, you mentioned that you believe that the scriptures are divinely inspired, and I would say that if you say that sincerely, I don't know whether it's as a Lutheran background or what, you have to take certain conclusions from that statement that there is something that God is trying to communicate.
All right, very quickly, sir, we're about out of time.
All right, I just want her to admit that if scriptures are divinely inspired, then we have to read those scriptures for God's will, and it's not worrying about what happens on this earth. It's our relationship with him in heaven.
All right, thank you. So in other words, study your Bible. Translated, I think, is what he just said.
Right, and you know, at this time I'd like to put something in here that is really important. I haven't had a chance to say.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, Lori, I will hold you over for a bit longer, so hold on. We're at the top of the hour. I have to break here, so can you hold on?
Thanks, Art.
All right, Lori Toy in Arizona, prophet, and some of it's pretty serious stuff, I'll tell you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell, live on the CBC Radio Network. To call the show toll-free from across the nation, dial 1-800-618-8255. The wild card direct lines are area code 702-727-1295. That number is 702-727-1295. And if you've never called the show, try the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. Anybody east of the Rocky Mountains can use the first-time caller line online at area code 702-727-1222. When your call is answered, please turn down your radio. Each caller will be allowed up to 3 minutes, giving more listeners a chance to join in. And now, enjoy Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Most of what's left of the Rockies, west of the Rockies, is pretty much gone. Nevada is prophesied to be hit by a meteor, and there's a great big old central chunk. I guess we're ground zero for that here. Most of the Northwest is gone. The Mississippi River has swollen and taken with it a large chunk of the middle part of America. And the eastern part of America is splintered and broken, with about a third of Florida at the bottom gone, and other areas gone or turned into islands. That's the map of prophecy. It's a beautiful map, and it sparked my curiosity, so I followed it, and I found Lori down in Arizona. She's been talking to us about this prophecy, and so thus far, to catch you up, since a lot of you will not have heard the first couple of hours, she has been accused of being a nutcase, that she should see a psychiatrist, that she should read her Bible. In other words, the reaction has been strong, passionate, emotional, and mostly negative, if I were, as I sit here, summarizing in my own mind. And I would say I'm beginning to get to be as interested in the reaction to Lori as I am in the prophecy itself. The prophecy, of course, is fascinating and controversial, but the reaction to it is really a study, and I'm sure some of the rest of you probably feel the same way. At any rate, back to Lori Toy. Are you there, Lori?
Boy, I'm here, and my heart's really with your words, because the last 6 years of my life have been with dealing with that reaction with folks, and then bringing them back into the work. And we call it, which is kind of interesting, we don't call it earth changes anymore. We call it birth changes.
Birth changes.
Birth changes, because it really does birth a whole new consciousness in people. And so I outlined some real simple ideas for people, because a lot of times when they contact the prophecies, they say, well, gosh, what can I do? And people want to do something. And so these are some ideas I have. Now, on survival, and a lot of people talk about survival, we say feeling the best and not the worst is the only way we can survive. Are you having fun? Start scheduling the things you like to do into your life. Remember when I talked about collective thought and feeling and how it created the weather in certain areas?
Yes.
So start living with a sense of joy. On moving to a safe place.
I by the way, and we'll get to that in a second, I really was fascinated by that the weather, disasters, rising rivers in the Midwest, violent weather in general, is controlled by us.
That's right, collective thought and feeling. That is what is known as holographic thinking. There's a fabulous book out, and I won't get too deep into it because I'm not an expert on it, but it's called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. And it talks about how mind creates. He gives instances over and over and over again of thought creating. What it was, basically, is that he worked with a nuclear physicist bomb. And they came across some very interesting studies in their laboratory with consciousness and creating. And they set up two microscopes, and they were studying the movement of subatomic particles. And on one, they had a computer eye, and they noticed that there was no motion.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other one, they always viewed through the human eye.
And they noticed that when the human eye went over to the one that was allocated for it, then there was movement.
Hmm. All right. On the toll-free line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hello. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah.
Hi, Jeremiah.
I am a biblical scholar, and I'd just like to pose a couple of questions for her.
Yes.
The first is, how does she think that atheistic evolution and biblical creation can be somehow correlated to coincide with each other?
Can they be, Lori?
What is this question again?
Biblical creation and evolution. Do you see that they can be reconciled or not?
Oh, absolutely.
How is that?
Absolutely. They really work hand in hand. They're
no,
like,
they don't.
They're like both sides to, like, our body itself. We have two hands and two feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we need both of them to work and make the body move.
That isn't true.
Now,
I've known people with one
I am
leg
of the belief
walk.
That we are divine,
mm-hmm.
that we have the spark of the Creator in us. And,
but you believe
but I
that
also,
we are created through monkeys?
I also am of the knowledge that there was an evolutionary process that occurred in order for us to have these bodies. And
so
I also
believe,
know
excuse me?
That our environment affects our bodies,
mm-hmm.
it's just in terms of watching what happened even after the explosion of Mount St. Helens.
You're still avoiding the question. I want to know how you think that they go together.
Just explain that.
No, you didn't. You avoided the question and just said the la la la, they go together, but you didn't say how.
How they go together?
Mm-hmm.
I just stated it.
No, you
well,
didn't.
Okay.
I stated that we are divine beings. We have a saying here, and we say we are divine beings having a human experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My other question is, what do you even think about creation? You still avoided the last question, but I mean, do you think we were created or we evolved?
I think we were created.
We were
and
created
then we evolved.
Through evolution, okay?
Right.
That's what you're saying?
We
so
created
think,
and then we evolved.
Why,
all on a divine
let
plan.
Me jump in here. Why is it not possible to believe, sir, that the process of evolution was guided by the hand of God?
Because it says clearly in the Bible that God created everything. It doesn't say over millions of years. It says in days.
Well, all right. Well, this is an old religious argument about how long a day is. Thank you very much for the call. I don't know myself. These are very deep questions, Lori, but it seems to me the process of evolution could have been guided by the hand of God. I don't rule out that possibility.
I don't rule it out either.
And I'm beginning to believe that a lot of religious people are very narrow-minded. Very narrow-minded. I suppose that comes from, I can say it, you didn't, from very strong faith, I suppose, Lori, but sometimes to the world it sure looks a little narrow-minded.
We're all needed.
All right. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, I'm calling from KSB St. Louis. I'm sort of like you are. I think I'm searching for something, but I'm not sure that this was it. For example, when you had Neil Chase on, he would answer a question. You'd ask a question. He had an answer. It was a clear, concise answer that we can understand. Somehow, I'm not really hearing any answers to any of the questions, even the simple one like, what are these golden age cities? And I want something to grasp onto, but I'm not hearing it here. Instead, I think I'm hearing Tammy Faye Baker. and I think I'm hearing, I think it's just rhetoric. I think I'm hearing, send me your money, and I'll get along fine. But it's not answering my questions.
All right, let's ask that specific question. What are these golden age cities, Lori?
Okay, I'll be real specific. They are specific outlined areas on the planet. They are 400 miles across and 250 miles in elevation. They are formed on the basis of sacred geometry, and we haven't even spoken about sacred geometry. But they spin in a clockwise motion to take energy in and in a counterclockwise motion to take energy out. Now, vortexian energy is a real fascinating energy to be in. And I haven't had a complete comprehensive study on it, but I have had experiences of being in several of the different vortexes as given in this prophecy. And
you really have to go and experience them yourself. But what I've noticed is that the energy is always very, very high when you're in one. A lot of times people will hear a real high-pitched ring.
Yes.
When they're in a vortex. The other thing is that good things happen in these vortexes for people. There's usually a lot of synchronicities. It's almost as if all the puzzles of our life are now fitting together in that what they call a mosaic, that every tile is laid down and then we can see the whole thing.
All right. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Good evening.
Hi, Art. Stino in SeaTac.
SeaTac, Washington, yes.
That's right. I'm familiar with one of those centers that take energy into the body, and it's called my mouth. I think that prophecy and prophetic dreams may be very real. However, there may be a sort of a divine disinformation taking place here. Please consider the integrity of your source, Lori. And I would like to ask you, how do you know if your source is good or evil?
How would you know if yours is?
Well,
I don't have one.
All right.
I'm not making any prophetic statements.
Yeah, he's not claiming one, Lori. It is a reasonable question. How do you know that what you're hearing is from a good source versus an evil source, Lori? How do you know that?
Because good things happen.
That's not what you're saying. In your prophecies are not good.
When good things happen, in your life. I've had only good things happen as a result of doing this work. Only good things. What you're talking about is fear.
I'm not afraid.
At the basic level.
No.
Because what you're saying is, what you're getting, aren't you afraid that you may not be getting the right answer?
I think that's a legitimate question. I mean, if someone sends me a letter in the mail telling me that I can make $1 million in a month, and I wish it to be good, doesn't necessarily make that so. I'm going to be very skeptical about it. And I think when you're talking about the stakes that are as high as what you're talking about, I think it's very, very important that you please consider the source and question it.
And, you know, I think you're bringing up something really good, because I do question everything that is received.
Yeah, in other words, I keep hoping Ed McMahon's going to show up at my door. And
sure.
I keep sending it in, hopefully, but Ed hasn't been there yet.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. In fact, before we even released the map, I spent a good 2 months alone debating about the ramification of doing this. Of course, I was encouraged by a lot of friends to put the information out, and I had already been invited to go and give lectures. And they were free lectures, around the states with the material. People had such a desire to hear the information and correlate it with other information that they had been getting, too. One thing that I pay attention to is what's happening with other people as well. Now,
all right, sir, I'm going to disconnect. Thank you very much for the call.
What's happened here in our office, which is interesting, is, like I said, we get thousands of letters and thousands of calls of people who've had the same experience.
How does the word about this get around, Lori, aside from the
lectures? It's all word of mouth.
All word of mouth. Well, that's the way I found you.
Yeah, we don't really have the funds to do a lot of advertising. We're not a really wealthy organization. We're very much just a service organization. And so we just really rely on word of mouth.
That is
how our information, travels.
I understand. On our first-time caller line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hello.
Hello. I have two comments, one for you, Art, and one for your guest.
All right.
I think what you made a comment that you find people that are religious believing in biblical values are narrow-minded.
Well, I'm saying that some of the people that have called this morning, I find kind of narrow-minded, yes.
Yeah, because of their belief in the Bible?
No, because of... No, no. No, absolutely not. I find them to be narrow-minded because of their intolerance to consider any other view.
Oh, okay. I guess I would be considered narrow-minded.
Okay.
I do not believe that the New Age movement it can be tolerated, but as far as being a truth, I don't believe so, because when you, Lori, say that we are divine, that is very blasphemous. So thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, that's the difference. Again, I said somebody delineated rather well earlier, and that does seem to be the difference, Lori, and it's what the religious folks object to. The divinity they think is not within themselves at all, or anywhere near themselves, but on up there.
Well, and you said it too, Art. It's called tolerance. You know, and this is a country that was founded on the idea of religious or spiritual tolerance.
That is true.
And, you know, that is what this map is addressing. It is a warning that if we refuse to love in the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood, what potentially can happen?
All right. Well, let's explore a little more here. On the wild card line, you would have been. On the toll-free line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hi.
Tenth Amendment, good morning to you, Mr. Bell.
And to you, sir.
Ms. Toy, I have a question for you.
Yes.
That map of yours... I didn't get it earlier in the program. What happens in Arizona?
There is a new coastline in Arizona, and the new coastline runs right through Phoenix, Arizona, extends on up past Sedona, Arizona, and then extends all the way up into Denver, Colorado.
And which side of that line do you live on?
Actually, we live right on the line. And, you know, that coastline, and of course that's taking the prophecies literally, is pretty ambiguous. In fact, I noticed when I was working with maps that boundaries could change in, according to perspective and everything. And I really do feel that this map is a generalization of what could happen. I think if we go into a time of cataclysmic earth changes prophesied here, that those coastlines could vary quite distinctively.
Well, may I respectfully submit, ma'am, that if you believe your prophecies, you ought to be living on the other side of the line.
Might be a good idea. Our purpose and intent in coming here was to live in what is known as the vortex, or the sacred city. We wanted to be here and to be part of that, and that is why we live here.
All right, sir.
When do you expect these events to take place?
Well, interesting enough, and I'm glad you asked that question, because I think we're living in that time right now. Art and I were discussing about a meteorite that almost hit the planet in 1992, and I've often wondered, was that the meteorite that they were speaking about? And when you look at the prophecies on the map, we've had many of the earthquakes that they've spoken about in California. We've had this horrifically cold winter this year in the Northeast, which is part of the prophecies. And then on top of it, the tremendous flooding of the Midwest, which are indicated in the prophecies. Now, the next event that we'd look for, if there's a timing and delivery of these prophecies, literally as they happen, would be some sort of earthquake activity in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, when would you expect that to happen? In other words, for those of us who are interested in the accuracy of your prophecies, when do you expect that to happen?
I think he wants a date.
He wants a date?
Well, okay.
I think, in terms of the information that I have received, that we're looking at something in the summer up in the Pacific Northwest, some sort of earthquake activity.
Oh, this summer?
Coming
this summer.
But I want to talk about something that's very important. Collective consciousness can change those things, and in fact we've proven that. There was quite an energy going towards California around the 1st of May of last year,
And a lot of people who are doing this kind of work had made predictions that an earthquake was going to hit and start everything out in California around the Los Angeles area. I checked in and discovered that there was too an energy that was happening at that time, that there, yes, there could be some type of cataclysmic earthquake. So we gathered about 20 people together and did what is known as an earth healing ceremony. And it would be more quote-unquote religious in nature, but we drew from...
Yeah, but isn't this a little like the guy, Lori, with who's sitting in a bar snapping his fingers like this?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I don't know whether you've heard that joke or not. And somebody finally keeps asking him, why are you snapping your fingers? And he says, well, it keeps the elephants away. And the other person says, there aren't any elephants around here. And he says, see, it works. Lori, can you hold on just a moment, please? We'll be right back to you. And here we are at the bottom of the hour. We'll do another 30 minutes with Lori Toy and talk a little more about prophecy. See what kind of level of tolerance we come up with in our final 30 minutes. Stay right where you are. This is Coast to Coast AM.
This is the end of side one. Please leave the cassette exactly where it is, flip it over, and begin again.
From the Kingdom of Nye, you're hearing Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the CBC Radio Network.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. My guest is Lori Toy, and we've been more or less burning her at the stake. And so back to her we go. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Art.
I have a feeling that a lot of people would do that if they could. I mean, you'd be there on a giant cross at the top of a wood pile, and they'd be lighting the fire.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be burning you at the stake. A lot of people might even think you're a witch.
Because they're entitled to an opinion, huh?
Yeah, they are. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hello.
Yeah, this is John in Bozeman, Montana.
Hello, John.
I've got a question for Lori, and I didn't hear the very first part of the show, so I don't know. I'm wondering what she sees in the polar shift. Is she seeing the Earth crust shifting or just a magnetic change?
It is a good question, and let's listen. Lori, what will happen when we get a polar shift?
Yeah, John, that's a great question, because that's an important part of the prophecy. In the prophecies, it was stated that there would be three polar shifts and that they would occur only a few years apart. Excess water at the equator causes an imbalance in the rotation of the planet. And as the rising oceans cover land, this unbalanced weight causes other lands to sink. They say that the proportion of the land to ocean water starts the shifting of these poles, which move at the North Pole in a 90-degree angle. And the final shift shows the northern pole's resting place in the waters near the south end of Baffin Island, and that's in Canada, and it's about 2,600 kilometers north of New York City. They also said that those shifts of the poles would correlate major earth changes that would happen at the same time. The first one being the impact of the meteor would be the first shift. The second one would be the earthquakes in California, the earthquake in the Pacific Northwest, and that the third one would be a shift in consciousness.
All right. Two earth changes and a human change, I guess.
Right. Two earth changes and a birth change.
All right. Well, every line's sitting here ringing, so let's find out. More people with matches, probably. Hello there. On our wild card line, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hi.
I'd like to talk to Lori, please.
Oh, she's right here. Go ahead.
I'm here.
Hi, Lori.
Hi.
I really wanted to share something with you, since everybody's sharing different things, and you're sharing your story.
Great.
But I had an experience at the age of 24 years old of a new birth, and
It happened when I went into my home, and then I felt God's presence. And I used to wonder when people would say about being born again. And I experienced a spiritual birth, and that was the day when I took Christ as my personal Savior.
Uh-huh.
And I have never been the same since. And I know in my heart that God is the great I Am. And He's made such a difference in me, even in my thinking and in my appetites for things. He just, it's like I became clay and He was the potter. And I thought I'd share that with you, honey.
Thanks for sharing your heart.
Okay, honey.
Okay, take care. Well, at least she was pleasant. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Judy, KVI in Seattle.
Seattle, yes.
And I'm not calling to burn you at the stake.
Thank you. It's hot here.
I didn't hear the first hour because we don't get that in Seattle. But I have read The Holographic Universe and thought it was fabulous.
All right, the first hour was particularly interesting.
Well,
and ma'am, you will get that. Yeah, you'll still get it this morning.
You're ruining my sleep is the problem. Lori, I had a couple real quick questions for you. I'm wondering how, I presume that you're familiar with Gordon Michael Scallion's work?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Do you work together or you just know of his work?
Well, I think we do work together.
Okay, because I haven't received any of his material other than his catalog, and I will be calling for your catalog. But I know that he's doing the same kind of thing. And also I wanted to ask you if you are familiar with the work by Dr. Snow, Mass Dreams of the Future.
Yes, Chuck Snow is a friend of mine.
Oh, good.
And his work is incredible. He hypnotized 1,000 people, and instead of doing past life regression, he did future life progression.
Right, that's what I understand.
Yeah, it took them into the future, where they saw major cataclysmic earth changes.
That, I must say, parallel what you have here.
And it absolutely does.
Yeah, there's no question. That's what struck me about this map. That's what caused me to do all this, was looking at the map. And then I watched this program about prophecy. Thank you very much, ma'am. I watched the program about prophecy, and by golly, you all seem to be saying about the same thing. Very close to the same thing, Lori.
You know, there is another good book out, and it's called Mary's Message to the World, written by Annie Kirkwood. And it's basically the same thing again. Same thing again. Talks about major earth changes and planetary changes.
All right. On the toll-free line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm KBI in Seattle.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I just had a couple... I don't necessarily want to burn Lori. Lori, I don't really want to burn you. But I did have a couple of observations. Even biblically, the wise men used stars and different things to guide them. There's, you know, a lot of prophecy, seer-type things in the biblical days. I think that what... With the coming of Christ, though, that was all to bring them to Christ and then to leave behind those things. I think that there is a certain amount of truth in some of the things that you were saying, because that is something I think that at one time all men had, was the ability to see different things and know different things and, you know, we used to frolic with the animals in the Eden, you know? But that... Ultimately, the shift comes away from man, and it needs to go to God. And I think that where you're missing the mark is in going from God. And I chafe every time I hear you say, well, we are a divine being. If we're divine, it's only because we have God in us, not that we ourselves are gods. And... I guess,
you know,
I just agree with you there.
I really do agree with you there. Because I have run into that a lot. And I feel that we are made in the image and likeness of. But I do not personally believe, as my own code, I don't believe we are greater than what created us.
Mm. Well, but you're putting us on a level of being of it. And I think it's also by saying that we as a consciousness of all can change things that are to be is a little bit saying like, well, we're going to put God on a string and make him do what we want versus what he has deigned for us to do.
Yes. All right, ma'am. Thank you. Yes. I guess there are many ways of looking at it.
There really are. And I get what she's saying. She's saying there's a divine plan that's not...
Not in our hands.
Not in our right. hands.
And that we can think about it all day and all
right.
night and wish and hope and love, and still whatever's the divine plan is what's to be.
Right. But we let it work through us. We let the divine plan work through us. No, we do not make up the divine plan. Nor do we administrate the divine plan, but it does work through us.
Well, that's almost different than you were saying earlier, because earlier you were suggesting that we are empowered.
We are.
To control our fate ahead. That
we are. We are. And what I'm presenting there is that perhaps maybe through understanding how creative our thoughts and feelings are is how we allow that divine plan to work through us. I'm going to need to take a break, and then my husband, Len, will be coming on to give his portion of this interview. But I still wanted to get our phone number out for folks.
Yeah, sure, for your map.
602-474-1341, and again, Post Office Box 2511, Payson, Arizona, 85547.
All right, very good.
Thanks, Art.
Thank you. And turn me over to your husband.
Okay, I'll be getting him just a minute.
All right, very good. Lori Toy has been my guest. She is the one who received the dreams, the prophecy, that led to the map that that they have produced. And now we're going to talk briefly with her husband. I wonder if he's there. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good. And your name is?
My name is Len.
Hi, Len.
How?
I take it that you've been listening to some of this.
Yes, I have.
Are you surprised at the reaction?
No, not at all.
Typical?
Very typical, Art. Very typical. What's happening is that people's buttons get pushed.
Oh, yes. Twisted and pulled and tweaked.
And there really is nothing wrong with that at all. That is part of who we are as a culture, as a world. And it's not that critical. However, it's just, the only thing that I would probably reiterate is it would be nice to have the consideration, because the reality of it is that every one of us on the planet has our own choices, has our own opinions, has our own beliefs, and we're entitled to those.
Absolutely.
Whether we want to work those in a harmony or not, that's another thing. I have noted in the study of many philosophies and cultures that everyone is of the opinion that their way or their study is the only one.
Is the only one. Now, my observation is, of what Lori has brought to us in prophecy, what the Bible says, what different religions say, all of it seems to parallel very closely in terms of the events that everybody believes will occur. We just seem to violently disagree about the power behind them.
Sure, absolutely. You know, and I understand people's objections and their opinions, and they're totally justified by what they know and what they believe. But I would like you to just consider a couple of things. Our world has many diverse beliefs, just as there are many diverse flowers, many diverse trees, many diverse types of minerals and rocks. Do you think that the creator or the source or the God of the creation wouldn't allow for such variety, because it does exist? Do you think that any of these individuals through all the eons of time have been any less inspired than any others? It's my opinion, if you were a rose gardener, for example, you would probably think that carnations or tulips or daffodils were not worthy of the name flower.
Right.
Only those that are roses.
Right.
However, the Creator has seen fit to supply us on a universal scale all the different types of flowers. Even water isn't the same. Mountain spring water is entirely different than even lake water or even ocean water. And we could debate the differences ad infinitum to where it would achieve nothing but frustration. What
the prophecy basically does, it's an X-ray. It's kind of God, in a certain sense, saying how we're doing. If you look at the areas where there are the greatest change on the I Am America map, or even the world map for that, those are the areas where there are great conflicts, where there is great intolerance. And the funny thing about a world prophecy of changes, which is, in effect, recorded in many, many scriptural texts of having happened in a cyclical manner, the reality of it is that basically no one is untouched. So whether your firm belief in Judaism says that this can't happen, it's not relevant. Whether your firm belief is that you're a Christian or that you're a Buddhist or you're a Hindu or you're a Muslim, guess what, world? There isn't any of us who will be untouched. And whatever we decide is the only way that we perceive God, God's saying no. That's not the way it is. You may perceive that only roses are the flower of truth. Someone may say only tulips are the flower of truth. But this particular prophecy leaves all governments, it leaves all religions, all spiritual paths equally touched.
Well, I like miniature carnations, and I think roses and tulips should be burned.
Right. Basically, that is many of the philosophies that we have adopted, not only in this land that supposedly comes under the guise of freedom of thought, freedom of feeling, freedom of religious belief.
All right, while we're on the subject of differences, I understand that you have some with your wife. Where do the two of you differ in philosophy or belief?
Well, first of all, I know that for a fact Lori has beliefs of things. I don't have beliefs of things. Basically, I'm of the opinion there's either things I know or things I don't know. And it is only based on that that I will take any action. So from that basis, she has a very strong faith in many, many things.
So then when she had this vision, mm-hmm. and these prophecies, and she came to you and said, hey, hon, let's sell the house, I'm real curious how that settled on you.
Well, we'll go back a little further. We'll go back a little further. One of the things that I'm going to fess up to is that I have what many, many people would call an affliction. And just as the artists of old would see glowing lights around people.
Yes.
I have my entire life had this experience. And it is to the point that not only do I see this light, but occasionally I will see the beings that deliver the messages.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So, I was not surprised in any way, shape, or form by anything Lori would ever share with me. And so, there are even times when it's difficult for me to drive the car. I have to stop.
Why?
Because there's too much light. It doesn't happen as often as it used to when I was very young, but it does happen.
There's too much light. I don't understand that. What do you mean?
Well, for example, it is referred to in many of the scriptural texts, including our Christian Bible, which I have read and which I don't discount in any way, shape, or form, completely accept, that angels exist, that great beings of light exist, that there are great teachers. Jesus speaks of seeing Moses and many, many other teachers in his visions. Well, it's my experience that these types of experiences do, in fact, happen. They're not necessarily the everyday kind of experience, but they do happen. And so anything that Lori would present to me, I really wouldn't discount at all.
But so then you accepted it when she came to you with selling the house, that sort of thing.
Yes, when Lori also said let's go from the what we lived in Washington State in a little town called Asotin, and in 5 days we were on our way to New Mexico.
Wow, That's certainly changing your life. Okay. We've got just a few more moments. I guess I would like to ask you to comment on whether you believe your wife's prophecy is pretty shocking stuff. And, of course, it's all laid out in the map. Do you accept it? Are you in doubt of it? How do you feel about it?
Well, first of all, I'd like you to... I'm going to read to you the word belief out of the dictionary. Okay, it says belief. It is a confidence or trust, conviction of the truth or reality of a thing, based upon grounds insufficient to afford positive knowledge, that which is believed, an accepted opinion, a tenet or creed, but you don't have proof.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Most of our world functions on belief systems, Art.
Yes.
Now, the truth of the matter is that we don't know. The government will tell us something, we believe it. Our churches will tell us something. Someone will interpret a biblical scripture for us, we will believe it. The question I ask all of your listeners to consider is, are all of these belief systems creating a world of peace? Are they cleaning the environment? Are they creating a balance between the haves and the have-nots? Are they eliminating disease? Are they bringing us, in a sense, closer to God or to each other? Are they working?
Well, I'll give you my answer. No, not right now.
Well, that is the point of the map. The map is cross-cultural. It doesn't leave anyone untouched.
No, it doesn't. Listen, it's a shocking map. I found it fascinating. It's certainly a real work of art. There's no
yes.
question about that. If people want one of these maps, how would they get it?
How would they get it?
That's right.
You can either write to us at P.O. Box 2511, Payson, Arizona. The zip code is 85547. Or you can give us a call at area code 602-474-1341.
Okay, there's actually somebody at that number right now, isn't there?
Absolutely there is. And usually 9 to 5 Arizona time, because the people in Arizona do not change their time.
Right. They're stubborn.
Well, they're individualistic. Let's put it that way. So we'll just accept it.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
As far as believing...
All right, sir. We're way
I
out of time.
It.
Well, you've got to accept that we're out of time, and I've got to go. But I appreciate your being on the program and Lori's being on the program.
Art, thank you very much.
Thank you, and have a good morning. You're listening to Coast AM from the high desert, and we'll be back with more.